Good morning. I want to tell you about a story. It was, I think you've seen my grandson Gabe come with me once or twice to church. He's now 9, but when he was 2, you know how little kids like to build towers? And they're all so proud of these towers they built, right? Well, we were at the Grand Haven Library and I was helping him build the tower. But he put the last little block on it. It was one of those cylinder blocks. And he was ever so proud. And he's like, "Gabers did it. Gabers did it." He was very proud of it. And he came around because he knew I was videotaping it. He wanted to see it through the camera to be proud of this tower he built. Well, the next thing I know, he goes around and he knocks it over. After being so proud of this tower, he knocks it over and then he giggles. It's fun to watch kids build a tower and then go, "Hey, I can destroy it." So what would you do if Bishops Eaton and Satterley told you that they were going to come and completely level this building? What would be your main concern? The disciple asking the question of Jesus was clearly amazed by the temple stones and the architecture. And he wants Jesus to recognize it. He wants Jesus to see the beauty of this building, which I think if I were Jesus, I would be like, "Really? That's all you see is the building? What did I just teach you? What did I just tell you? Okay, the building, that's what you got out of this." Jesus' response was, "Look at these great buildings. They will be completely demolished. Not one stone will be left on top of another. Not one." He really didn't answer the disciples' question, did he? He kind of ignored it because I think he was blown away by, "Wait a minute, I've taught you better than this. Why are you admiring a building when I've told you that that building, what is inside that building, is very corrupt?" Last week, we heard how Jesus warned of the hypocrisy of the leaders of the law, how they paraded in their robes and they wanted honor and they wanted respect and they sat at the best tables. Pastor Dave even said he was a little wary of wearing his robes, not that he would parade around with pride or expect honor. He wears his robes humbly, with humility. The high priest did not. They wanted to be noticed. They wanted the recognition. Remember the fig tree back in chapter 11? Let me read this. "The next morning, as they were leaving Bethany," note that they're leaving again, just like Jesus left the temple, they're leaving Bethany. "Jesus was hungry. He noticed a fig tree in full leaf a little way off. So he went over to see if he could find any figs. But there were only leaves because it was too early in the season for fruit. Then Jesus said to the tree, 'May no one ever eat your fruit again.' And the disciples heard him say it." So he cursed that fig tree. What he was cursing wasn't the tree. In a way, he was already cursing the temple because of the hypocrisy in the temple. The chief priests, the Pharisees, they were not bearing fruit the way they should have been in the temple. They were hypocrites. It's interesting to note that as Jesus left both places for his final time, because this was the last time he left Jerusalem as well, after his entry days prior to this. So that when he cursed the fig tree, it was a judgment on Israel. It wasn't on the tree. It was on Israel and where they were headed and the corruption, the hypocrisy that was inside the temple with the people, not the building. Another question by the disciples in verse 4. Tell us, when will all this happen? What sign will show us that these things are about to be fulfilled? Again, Jesus really, he answered, but his answer was a very strange answer. His answer was to beware. Don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. We've had Waco, Texas. There's the Church of Scientology. Joseph Smith, who is the founder of the Mormon Church, they've all had people misled by somebody saying, I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that has come to save you. And he says, beware, very much like he does in chapter 12, where he's telling the apostles to beware. In verse 38, he says, beware of these teachers of religious law. And then again in 13, we hear him say, beware of those who will mislead me or mislead you. I'm sure there are and will be more people that will lead us astray. In 13:5-6, he says again, don't let anyone mislead you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah. They will deceive many. And we have been deceived by many people. Jesus is warning us that times will be tough. His road is not an easy road. Remember, he went to the cross, and to follow him, we have to go to the cross. In verses 6 through 8, again, there will be war. You will hear of wars and threats of wars. Don't panic. These things must take place, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in many parts of the world, as well as famines. But this is only the first of the birth pains, with more to come. The birth pains in this has nothing to do with giving birth to a child. It's more of the idea of destruction. We've seen wars for hundreds of years. We've seen fires, floods, earthquakes. Have these not been happening for a very long time? Yet, total destruction could happen today or tomorrow. The fires in California have leveled people's homes. The hurricane that hit Florida a few months ago leveled homes. Volcanoes took out a town in Hawaii, and it's taken out towns in other countries. So they're always with us. So when Jesus says that no one can know the time, even he did not know the time. And he admitted that to his apostles, that God is the only one that knew the time. So are we prepared for destruction? Are we prepared for a building such as this, or a cathedral like St. Andrew's, to be totally leveled? What would you do? Would you level your own home? Would you destroy your own home? Jesus essentially is destroying his home, but his home isn't the building. Remember, Jesus was homeless. He went from town to town, house to house. He didn't have a bed to rest in that was his own. So when we talk about this building being leveled, where would you go? Where do you think you could worship God? Do we need this building to worship God? I'm happy to hear that through Family Promise, we are opening our church more to homeless families, and we will welcome them into space and give them a roof and some walls that surround them in safety. That's one ministry we have here. The other ministry, and I think of it often because if this building were leveled, and before they had churches, people met in one another's home. The church wasn't the building. The church is all of us. It's each person's talent, each person's uniqueness that makes up our church. The one unique mystery I've just become involved in is home churches, which was started a few years ago by a small committee. And I think that would be a wonderful way for us to get involved in church, in ministry, and to realize it's not this building. It's not these walls. Our church is each one of us sitting in front of, behind you, and next to you. May we remember that church is not the building. Church is people. Thank you.